You'd like to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, starting verse 1. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Matthew 13, starting verse 1 through verse 10. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. He told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, as they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on the ground. Other seeds fell on the good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables?
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Ron, for the songs we sang. It's beautiful sitting up front and listening to you all sing. And it's just an encouragement to be able to hear that. And we so appreciate you being with us this morning. We have a number of visitors, and we're happy you're here today. And we will hope that you will come back and be able to worship again with us. Also, I want to take a brief moment and say thank you to all who participated in the contribution last Sunday. That contribution is going to reach out to lost souls, and I'm excited to think about in the days ahead what we will hear because of the participation that the congregation has had in that work, and it's so exciting to think about that. I hope you do have your Bibles already open to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10. We're going to talk this morning about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Now, when you hear that word mystery, you kind of get your ears, doesn't it? How many of you like to watch or on TV or a movie or read a book about mysteries? Oftentimes, the mystery is a mystery, isn't it? And so this morning, we're going to look a little bit at what Scripture says about that mystery. But as you look at this particular chapter, 13 of Matthew, and as you take in what was read by Brother Daniel. You come down to verse 11, and we have an answer to the question that is posed to Jesus. His disciples came, verse 10, why do you speak to them in parables? And then, verse 11, he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. But there is a secret into this passage in reference to what Jesus said in verse 9. I want to uncover that mystery as you look at verse 9. It's not been given to them, and there's a reason for that. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The people had a problem with hearing. We're going to talk more about that in our discussion. But first, let's talk about this word mystery. One thing that I enjoy doing is when I grab a chance, I like to read Sherlock Holmes mysteries. One of the reasons is they're fairly short. And the other reason is that he always solves the mystery. In fact, I can think maybe of only one time he didn't give all the answers to all the questions regarding the events that happened. And so Conan Doyle in his writing made clear that Sherlock had the power of deduction and conclusion to reach the conclusion and expose the mystery. But you know, there's a lot of mysteries in life that go unsolved. In fact, the world is full of mysteries, and a lot of television and movies have been made about all of these unsolved mysteries. In fact, there was a program started in the 80s with Robert Stack that ran for years, and it was entitled Unsolved Mysteries. And I understand they resurrected that program throughout the years after that. But during that original episode, they produced 581 mysteries. or dealt with 581 mysteries, and that just touches the surface of all the mysteries in the world. And of course, they like to use that title because it gets our attention. The word mystery is used in the scripture here as we look at it in verse 11, is a word from which we get our English word mystery. And it refers to that which is hidden, or information that is hidden. In other words, there are things that are unknown. But here's what's significant about this word. A mystery is not something unknowable. Rather, it is what can be known through revelation or a revealing. And you don't have to know the definition of that word to understand it. You can look at passages like Ephesians 3 and verse 3. Paul writes, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." So the mystery is revealed by information and knowledge that is gained, and that is significant. And we need to understand that when it comes to the scriptures, because a lot of folks will look at this Bible and they'll say, you know, I picked it up. I started reading the first of Genesis and I actually jumped back to Revelation and tried to absorb that. Some of you all are smiling, maybe because you've been there and done that, or maybe because you know that if you start in Genesis and then jump to Revelation trying to find out the end of things, you're going to end up with a big mystery. And a lot of folks end up there. They look at this Bible and they say, it's a mystery. I can't understand it. No one can understand it. And therefore, it goes in the trash can. Well, this is not a mystery that's unsolved. In fact, it's a story of a mystery revealed. God reveals to His disciples what is necessary. Jesus, in talking to them, makes it clear that it has been given to them to know. Now, if you would turn to Romans 16, verse 25, Paul wrote these words, "Now to Him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." So there is a mystery that is specific. And of course, Jesus came to reveal the mystery. And we're going to see that mystery connected clearly to the kingdom of God. And you look at verse 26. He says clearly that the mystery is now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith. We can go back to those prophetic scriptures and we can read those, and those are revealing. And then, of course, when the disciples began to preach, beginning in Acts chapter 2, they started quoting that prophecy. They started making the application. They opened the eyes of the world to the mystery that had been since the beginning. And that is significant. If you look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 21, we read these words. "And also he said to them, is a lamp brought to put under a basket?" Can you imagine? You know what happened to my basket if I put a lamp underneath it? Bob's laughing. It's going to catch fire. It'll light the room eventually. But a lamp is not made to be put under a basket or under the bed. When you talk about a hot time tonight, that would be one, wouldn't it? Not designed for that. And he says in question, is it not to be set on a lampstand? And why is it set on the lampstand? To reveal, to bring to view. Verse 22, "For there's nothing hidden which shall not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret that it should come to light." Verse 23, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." You see those words in Matthew? Anyone who has ears, let him hear. Why? Because Jesus is revealing. But unfortunately, some did not hear, and so they missed what Jesus was saying. If you go back to verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13, it's interesting that we read, "On the same day, Jesus went out to the house set by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him. So much so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And what is Jesus going to do? He's going to reveal. He's going to start revealing the mystery of the kingdom. And then he starts speaking to them in parables. So much so that in verse 10, those disciples of Jesus come to him and say, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, you may not have caught it, but it's interesting that they're saying, "Why do you speak to them?" And what Jesus is going to tell them, "I'm speaking to you too." It was for them also to understand. You know, they might have thought, "Well, I'm with Jesus every day. I don't really need this." No, they needed it. And Jesus is going to reveal that. But they're asking that question, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, that word parable is also an interesting word because it's a transliteration. We've talked about that on Wednesday night and previously in lessons, of course, and you've heard it before. And what that means is instead of actually translating the word, the translators just took the original word and wrote it into English. And you'll see that it's very akin to the original word. What does it mean? Well, it means literally a placing of one thing by the side of another. The idea is that it's a comparison or a comparing of one thing with another so that with one thing of understanding, we have understanding of another. But it's interesting that that word, even in the biblical times of the ancient Greeks, referred to ships being side by side. And of course, when I see that, I think of the wars that they went through. Ships pulling them beside one another and firing cannons, hoping to destroy each other. To me, that's a silly way to fight, but nevertheless, they did it. And that word that we see translated parable was used in reference to those ships side by side. And why so? Well, it's because that when those ships pulled side by side and were ready for war with each other, there was a comparison going on immediately by the ship's captain and those men on those ships. And of course, what are they looking at? They're trying to determine, are we able to win? Are we better than they are? And so there was a study or a comparison made between the two ships. Now, how does that refer to what we're talking about? Well, Jesus spoke a parable. He was giving something that they could understand in order to see what he wanted them to understand about the nature of the mystery or the kingdom. And that is why the word parable is used. Look at verse 18 of Luke 13. Then he said, "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it?" There is the definition of the word parable. What's it like? What's the kingdom of God like? And what shall I compare it? King James says, resemble. Well, this was needed for the disciples because they were thinking kingdom, worldly kingdom. In fact, a lot of folks were thinking of the Messiah coming to deliver them from the domination of Rome, that they would be a part of a great kingdom established by God that would rule on this earth. And so that was their mindset. So Jesus needed to teach them more about the revealing of the true mystery of the kingdom. And it was not going to be what man thought it was. And so he would reveal much through parables. In fact, verse 3 of Matthew 13 says clearly, he spoke many sayings to them in parables. He made comparisons so that they could understand what was deemed to be nothing but a mystery. In fact, in verse 34, if you look at Matthew 13, interesting passages. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak them. That's how essential it was that people have understanding through that which is a likeness or a simile or a comparison. In fact, he goes on, verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." So do you see what's happening? When Jesus was speaking parables, he was revealing mystery. Mystery of the kingdom. In fact, so much so, those disciples, why? Why do you speak this way? Now look at verse 11, Matthew 13. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Remember their question? Why do you speak to them parables? And Jesus looks at him and he says, it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. See, the mysteries were to be known by the disciples. They also struggled with the very concept of what the kingdom of God was all about. They even wanted to have positions of authority, and they even wanted to go to war, so to speak, with each other about who was going to have the chief seat next to Jesus, because their understanding was not clear. Even though Jesus had revealed much to them about the kingdom of God, they were still struggling with the concept. In Mark chapter 4, verse 33, we read these words, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them. And then verse 34, going on without a parable, he did not speak to them. Verse 34 following, and when they were alone, he explained all things to them. To who? All things to his disciples. Because they needed to understand. They were going to go forth throughout the world with a mission. And it was important they be able to comprehend. And so Jesus would work to reveal to them. Because the mystery was to be known by the disciples. In Colossians 1, verse 26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but has been now, notice that word, now revealed to His saints. That was God's plan in sending Jesus. That was the plan of preparing for the coming of the kingdom by Christ as well as John the Baptist. That was the plan of the preaching, to make known that mystery, to reveal it. That which people said, I don't know, Jesus says, you can know. In fact, Ephesians 1, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. God's plan was that His saints know the truth. God's plan started with revealing with the disciples, and they were to know the mystery. But yet, they're asking, why? Why do you speak to them in parables? Well, Jesus is going to give us another bit of information that is significant in Matthew 13. Notice that He says, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But look, He follows, but to them it has not been given. Now, who's those who will not know? Well, remember, Jesus is there. He's teaching multitudes. Sadly, many multitudes followed Jesus simply for what He could provide for them, whether it be food or some miracle. And Jesus is going to reveal how it is that they do not grasp that mystery. That they do not grasp, when Jesus spoke those parables to him, the understanding that was necessary. In fact, Mark says this to you, speaking to disciples, Jesus says, it's been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. It was not Jesus' plan to reveal everything to the multitudes. And there was also a reason why they were not going to have an understanding of the mystery. Look at verse 13 of Matthew. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. I remember being in grade school. How about the rest of you? You're thinking, well, Rick, that's a long time ago. How can you remember that far back? I remember going up to the teacher and saying, teacher, I just don't understand this. Then I'd kind of hang my head. And while I'm hanging my head, I'm chuckling. Because I know why I don't understand. I didn't pay attention. That bird playing outside the window next to the tree and hopping up and down on the branches was much more attractive to me than paying attention to the teacher in class. And so it was real easy for me to walk up there and say, I don't understand, teacher. I didn't understand because I wasn't hearing. I wasn't seeing what she was saying. I was seeing what the bird was doing. And therefore, I did not understand. Verse 14, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. Why? Because they were not listening. They were not seeing. And there's another aspect of this, and this is the heart of it all. Why all will not know the mysteries as revealed is what I entitled this slide, and it's simply put, Jesus said, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. It wasn't Jesus' fault. He's giving them information that if they were truly wanting to know an answer to, they could have had some understanding. But they were not going to understand because it was a parable. And they did not have the heart, the desire to understand. In fact, he reveals that their heart has grown dull. My heart was not in the class that I was sitting in while I was watching the bird. My heart was not there when I could say to the teacher, I didn't understand. It was my problem, not hers. Because you see, I wasn't listening. In fact, I'm glad they didn't have this sign when I was in school because I could have certainly wore it a lot of times. I'm not listening. And that's the problem with these people. The hearts had grown dull and their ears were hard of hearing. In fact, Jesus goes on and says, their eyes they have closed. And those of us that have raised children understand the picture that you're seeing on the slide, don't we? What do kids do? We say, all right, you listen to me. And they've already closed their eyes and tuned you out because they're not listening. And that's why people don't understand, because they don't listen. In fact, it's interesting that Jesus told his disciples that they don't throw pearls before the swine. And we all understand, one, pearls are not great things to eat, and pigs don't care for them, and pigs aren't going to wear them, no matter how much they might try to get them over their head. And so they're wasted. One of the problems with the words of Christ in telling the people these parables, the multitudes, is that their heart wasn't where it needed to be to hear and to listen. Later, he'd make it clear to the disciples that they were not to cast their pearls before the swine. Verse 15, Matthew 13, for the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts. And notice what that produced if they do see, hear, and listen with an open heart. They turn. They make changes in their lives, and here's what Jesus offers. And here's the results of knowing the mysteries, that I should heal them. That was the plan. Jesus came to give the world what it needed to find true healing from the problem of sin. Jesus came to give people access to much more than the world could offer. He came to give them access to heaven so that they could be blessed. And in verse 16, look at the words, but blessed are your eyes, when he speaks to the disciples. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, Jesus says, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see. They wanted to see, but Jesus says they did not see it. They did not hear what you hear and did not hear it, even though they sought it. These disciples at the time of Christ were truly blessed because now they were having revealed to them the great mystery. And Jesus himself says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, because they hear. And then what Jesus would do, he would start unfolding for the disciples the true nature of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And even though they struggled, Jesus revealed it. And they would soon put it together that it wasn't to be an earthly kingdom, that it was to be a spiritual kingdom, and that the kingdom of God and the church are one and the same. And that would change the world. And truly, we are blessed when we understand the true nature of the mystery of the kingdom. And here's the question I want to end with this morning as our time's gotten away from us. Is the gospel of Christ still a mystery for you? Because you see, it's been revealed in the Word. The plan is simple. God's given us what we need to know and to understand. It's that which was once hidden has now come to light. And Paul gives us the answer to understanding. Verse 4 of chapter 3, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. When I went up to that teacher and said, "Teacher, I just don't understand," she could have very easily have asked me a question. And I don't remember if she did or not, but she could have said, "Have you read your textbook?" And if she'd asked me that, I'd had to either lie to her or say no. No, I hadn't read it. I wasn't interested. My heart wasn't in it. My ears were closed. My eyes were closed. That's why folks today don't understand, because they haven't read. The mystery has been revealed. The Bible is not an unsolved mystery. And so this morning we go back to the question, do you understand what you need to do in order to have heaven? Do you understand what you need to know in order to be a member of the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord? If you do, and you've not yet made the decision to obey, we're going to beg that you do so. We're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation song that Ron's going to lead us in, and we're going to ask you, if you understand the mystery of the gospel and you yet have not obeyed, why not? And Christians, if we can help you in your walk in the kingdom, and you need some help with that, make that known this morning as we stand and sing. Would you come?